Turn with us to 1 Peter, the first chapter of 1 Peter. I was also looking back there, and I see a dear friend, dear brother back here, Brother Klein, who's got back in from France. Brother Klein, it's good to see your face. Glad you got back in safely, and that's wonderful to have you here. Let's stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse number 18 of chapter 1. Forasmuch as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, even that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Let us pray. Father, again today, thanking you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you so much, Lord, for your kindness and goodness to us today. I'm reminded, Father, of Brother Chesser, and I ask you, God, please, to help him and Mary, God, in a real wonderful way, encourage and help and comfort. And Father, once again, we're thankful as you've helped Mrs. Brewer, Lisa. We ask you, God, to continue to help her and heal her. And Father, certainly for those other ones that has special needs, we pray. Now, Father, tonight I have a need. I need you, I need your power, and I need your wisdom. And I ask you, God, to do that for us as we preach your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You may be seated. 1 Peter is, I guess, like the rest of the Bible, but sometimes there's those little things that you like. 1 Peter's been an enjoyment to me as I read it. I found some strength in different times in my life from the book of 1 Peter. And it's helped me tremendously in different times, different sections of it. I preached a sermon sometime, well, it's been probably a few years ago, on 1 Peter about the hope that God gives us. And in fact, it was one of those sermons I even got three H's out of. It was the hope that God gives us. We live in hope, and also the holiness in which we are supposed to walk in, and then the harmony that we're supposed to live together in. And it was a good sermon. I mean, it really was. You don't remember it, but it was a good sermon. But that's what we had preached. And I'm going to take just a little bit of that, not really that sermon. But I want to look, and I've entitled the message tonight, I've entitled Children in the Same Family. Children in the Same Family. And we're going to look at that tonight, and we do have, and if you'll just go back to chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, there's no doubt about the fact that we live and we have a lively hope. Our hope is not dead. Our hope is in Jesus Christ because of his resurrection. We find also in verse number 15 and 16 of that chapter, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And once again, as we said, spoke a little while ago, that the holiness, God has called us to holiness. We're God's children. We have a living hope, and he's called us to walk in holiness. Amen. And then in verse number 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And there he's talking about the church, and he's talking about us as God's people, how we're supposed to live in harmony. Now, before we go on with the message, I want to go back to the book of Ephesians just for a few moments. The book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And I want to read, starting at verse number 1, I want you to listen to this as God gives us some instructions. He says, I therefore, this is Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I know I've covered that before, but you always, when you come to verse 3, he tells us, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit is already there. We are to keep it. The Spirit of God has united us, and we are to keep that unity. And he says that there is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And we find out there is, the Word of God tells us there is one body. That's the body of Christ. Now God, when he speaks in the Word of God, he talks to the local church. He speaks most of the time to the local church. But there's going to come a day, one of these days, when the rapture happens from all over this world. There's going to be Christians go up, and that's going to be the body of Christ, and only Christians will go up. Only Christians will be lifted off this earth, and that'll be the body of Christ. That's the first time we'll probably all meet together. Right now, God has got to has us delegated into local churches all across this land. And in the Word of God, even here in the epistles, he speaks to certain different churches. And also, of course, in the book of Revelation, we have the seven churches that he speaks to. So he deals with the local church. And he wants the local church to be in unity. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight is, what is that unity built on? Why are we supposed to be in unity, and how can we have that unity? How can we do that? It seems like that you look across the world and we see skirmishes and wars and all kinds of things. But even in the churches today, you see a lot of fighting and bickering and things like that within the church. That's something that ought not to be. God would not have that. How in the world are we going to convince? How are we going to convince a lost world that God loves them if we don't love each other? It isn't going to happen. Amen. So what I'm saying is, God expects us as the local church to walk in unity. So what is that that built on? First of all, you and I, if you're God's child, we have had the same experience of the new birth. That's a wonderful thing. Saved in 1966, in April 1966. And you could quote something and say, I was saved at this time. And maybe you remember the day, maybe you don't, maybe you remember the month or whatever it is. But we were both born again. We have the new birth. We're God's children. Amen. Now listen to me. Let's go back over and you hold your place in Peter, but go with me over to John, the third chapter of John. Simple verses of scripture, you familiar verses of scripture, but the third chapter of John, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we know about the new birth. We talk about that verse a lot. You know, if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, folks, if you're part of God's family, if you're part of God's family, you've been born again. There's been a new birth. Sometime in your life, there's been a new birth. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into mother's womb and he be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. I just wanted to mention that, go back there, because I want you to know there's two of the things in talking about the new birth. He talked about we're born of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God, as over here in 1 Peter, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and bears witness with us and convicts us of our sin and draws us unto himself and borns us into the family of God. That's why, you know, we talked about the sowing of the seed. You've got to get the gospel out to people before anybody's going to get saved. You say to me, well, all those heathen over across the land over there, you mean they're lost? Absolutely. Without hearing the gospel of Christ. That's why we've got 28 missionaries back there on our board. That's why we support missionaries. Because we've got to get the missionaries over there, wherever it may be, and get the word of God to them so they can be born again. If they're not, they're going to go to hell. Amen? So you see, there ought to be a burden in our hearts to get the word of God out. Get out through missionaries. And that's also true of your neighbor and my neighbor. Unless they hear the word of God, they'll never be born again. Amen? So we're all born again. You see, by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, we're born again, you see. Now, anything that's built, no matter what it is, anything, whether it's a church or whatever it is built in the power of the flesh, is somewhere going to deteriorate, is going to fail, and is not going to last. Man has already been trying for years and years, ever since practically the beginning of time. He tried it back in the Tower of Babel to build something that man could build himself. Great Babylon, you know, was built. The great kingdom of Babylon was built, and it failed. The United Nations today is trying to unite the world, and it is failing. It has failed, and it will continue to fail. It cannot do that which they want it to do. They cannot bring unity. They cannot bring peace to a world like this. They cannot. Why? Because it's flesh that they're trying to do it with. It's their program, what they want to do, you see. Anytime that we're going to build something, and if we try to build unity in the church on the principles of the flesh, it's impossible. Well, keep that in mind. We've got to build the church on the principles of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Can't do it on the power of the flesh. You see, we've got to remember that, you see. And, you know, it must be built, and that's why I was talking about the new birth. It must be built on the basis of the new birth. Why? Because every single one of us, when we were saved, have the Holy Spirit of God in us. So how can we build unity? Well, one of the main reason is because we're all born again. We have the same Holy Spirit in us. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. So there ought to be the unity of the Spirit, you see. And over in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse number 4, keep your place in 1 Peter. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know what God said? God said when he born us into his family, he gave us a new nature. We all have a new nature. You may have your old one there too, but you all have a new nature. Amen. I don't know which one is winning, but I'm just telling you, if you're saved, you have a new nature. God gave it to you. And that ought to cause a unity through the Spirit of God, because why? We have a new nature. God gave it to us. Amen. So we've trusted in the same Word of God. If you're a Christian, I trust in the Bible, the Word of God, don't you? Okay, see, we're in unity. Not only that, we trusted the same gospel, the same good news, the same message. Amen. We trusted the same Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got a lot of things in common. We got a lot of things that ought to cause us to be in unity. And we were born of the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. We was filled with the same love, the love of God. Look at verse 22, 1 Peter. He says, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, if you notice that, he talks about there ought to be a love for the brethren. Did you know that is one of the proofs or evidences of Christianity, that you are born again, is love for the brethren? 1 John 4th chapter. That's a proof. That's an evidence of Christianity, of salvation in Christ, is love of the brethren. Now, God says we're to love each other. It's an unfeigned love. That means it's a sincere love of the brethren. Amen. The second love that you find there is the agape love. We're supposed to love each other as brethren. But also that ought to surpass that. It ought to go by that and ought to have the agape love. But we just love them. Why? Because they're God's children. Folks, we're all born again. Same way. Every person sitting in this room, if you're a Christian tonight, you was born the same way I was. You heard the same word of God. And you responded to the same Spirit of God. And you became God's child. Amen. That gives us a lot in common, I believe. Amen. And not only that, over in 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 14th verse, he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. After we've been born again, it's not our desire, it's not our want to live the way we used to live, the desires of the old life. We don't want to do that anymore. You say, sometimes I do, but you don't want to. No, you really don't. You shouldn't. Ought to be a desire in your heart to live like God wants you to live. Amen. The old lust ought to be something in the past, and we ought to hate those when they come upon our hearts and minds. Amen. So you see, we're all in common. There ought to be a unity about us, you see. And this thing can't be manufactured. You can't manufacture that kind of love up. You can't do it. You just can't say, well, I think you ought to say, yeah, I'm going to love the brethren. But folks, it takes God and the Spirit of God to help you love the brethren. You just don't manufacture that thing. You do it because God says we are to do it. In verse 22 also, as we mentioned a while ago, he talked about the unfeigned love. That's a sincere love. I mean, we truly do love the brethren. He also says we ought to love in fervency. You see, in verse 22, he talks about that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, you see. In other words, that word fervently means to striving with all of your energy. You're fervently loving God. I mean, loving God and loving the brethren, you see. That's not just some feeling you have. It's your will. You override your will and you love people. You love the brethren because it's right to love the brethren. Amen. Now, we'll stop for just a moment now. If everybody Let's just say everybody in here is born again. Now, we're saved the same way. Have the same Holy Spirit of God in us. We trusted in the same Word of God. We trusted in the Spirit to convict us and draw us and born us into the family of God. Now, you tell me where God gives us the right to not like each other. Not love each other. Well, didn't they? No. See, that brings about unity. It brings about unity because who? Well, who are they? Who is that person you don't like very well? He's a child of God. Who is that person you think you're better than? He's a child of God. Amen. You don't know way back there. Boy, that person was a rascal. I don't care what they was. I'm concerned about what they are now. That's what I'm concerned about. What was you? Amen? What were you? What was I? We're children of God. We're out of the same family. And God wants unity, you see, within the family, you see. In verse 23... he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Skip on down in chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We're fed with the same food. We eat from the same table. The word of God. Newborn babes in Christ desire the sincere milk of the word. We're eating the same food, folks. We're out of the same family. Amen? So God is telling us there ought to be a unity there, you see. Now, let's look in verse 4 of chapter 2. And he says, to whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. If you notice, we're stones of the same building. You just imagine in your mind a little bit a building out here built out of stones. Well, folks, that's what God says the church is. We're just built out of the same stone. We're in the same building. We're a habitat for God, the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, folks, listen. How can you look over at that rock beside you and say, that rock, no good? We can remove that rock. We don't need that rock. No. God says we're all stones out of the same building. Jesus said, I will build my church. And every time he saves a soul, he places that in almost like a building. He places that stone into his, what we would call his body or his church. He places it there and puts it there, you see. And who are we to say it oughtn't to be there? Amen. I'm just saying, folks, we're all out of the same building. Amen. And Jesus is the one that is doing the building. Not only that, he uses the right blueprint. I mean, he don't mess up. I mean, he knows exactly what stones needed where. He knows how to do it. See, whether you or I understand it, we're stones here in the building here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and he's placed us here because that's where he wants us. Amen? So you don't want to remove the stone. You want to keep the stone there where it belongs. We're out of the same building. Amen? Amen. So that brings us even closer as a family. Amen? That stone sitting beside you there is pretty important to God. Amen. Because it's part of the building. Not only that, in chapter 2, verse number 5, he says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Look also over in verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We're out of the same priesthood, God says. We're called to be priests. Whether you understand it or not, but every individual believer is a priest with God and has the privilege to come into the very presence of God Almighty. It used to be only the priests could go in and do the work in the temple. Only they could do that. Now we're priests. And we can go to God at any time. Folks, you can go to God any time. And you're a priest. Amen. You need to understand. No, you don't have to go through somebody else. You don't have to go through the Pope. No, you just go to God. Why? Because you're part of the priesthood. And God has made you priests. Well, that's tremendous, you see. Now, if that person sitting beside you can go to God, and you can go to God, and the other person sitting beside you can go to God, that just makes us pretty important people, don't it? Well, I want to tell you something. Somebody can go to God is, to me, pretty important. Amen? And he calls us priests. Of course, that priesthood carries some responsibility with it. The priest was supposed to live holy lives. They're supposed to be right with God. Walk right. Do right. Amen? Does that change the excitement about being a priest? Amen. So we're supposed to be a priest, you see. God says we are, you see. You know, back in the Old Testament, you had to be out of the tribe of the Levite tribe to be a priest. Now, to be a priest in the New Testament, you have to be born again. Amen. That's all you have to do, just be born again. You're as a priest with God, you see. And each one of those in the Old Testament out of the Levite tribe had a certain ministry they performed. They had certain things that they had to do. I say to you, as a priest with God, we do too. We have a ministry to perform. We have a work to do. Why? Because we're a priest with God. Amen? So we just can't slough off. They had work to do. There's things that they had to get done, accomplished. And so do we. We've got to do the work of God. Why? Because he's made us priests and kings with him. Amen? And I believe something. I believe that when we do it, we ought to all do it to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. That's what the priests did. They glorified God as they did the work that they was given them to do in the temple. They glorified God Almighty, you see. So are you a priest with God? Are you a priest with God? Well, the Bible says you are. The Bible says you are. That's what you are. Okay? Then not only that, in verse 5, he talks about as priest, he says, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You know, the Word of God has much to say about those spiritual sacrifices. You know, over in Romans 12, he says we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, as a priest, God says we ought to offer ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice unto God. Sound good? Sound right? Sound scriptural? Well, have you offered your body to the Lord as a living sacrifice? Have you given yourself to the Lord to do with whatever he wants to do with? Do you keep it clean and holy? Do you keep that body spiritually clean? Is it a vessel that can be used of God, meet for the master's use? See, that's part of the priesthood, being holy before God. Amen. We think, you see, God still is going to use holy vessels. He's not going to use vessels that's mired with sin unless those sins have been forgiven and cleansed, and then you clean yourself up and you walk with God. I know God forgives. He certainly does. But he don't expect us to go on in our sin. Often our bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen? Not only that, in Hebrews the 13th chapter, he talks about even the praise of our lips is a sacrifice unto God, a holy sacrifice. Folks, listen, and we think immediately, you know, let's sing songs of praise. Well, that's right. We ought to, and we try to do that around here and sing, open our lips and mouths and sing out the best we can to praise God. But there's more to it than that. Our lips at all times ought to honor God and bring forth the praise unto the Lord. Is God pleased today with what you said? Is God pleased today with how you used this? Is he pleased with it? If you would ask him at the end of the day, God, was you pleased with my lips? How would he speak? How would he answer? What would he respond to? Did it bring praise to you? Folks, our lips can get us in trouble. Deep trouble. You know that. And think about how it went today. Well, did it bring praise to God or did it do the opposite? Amen. You see, God wants, he says that's a sacrifice unto, spiritual sacrifice unto him is the praise of our lips. Amen. Y'all remember that. We all ought to remember that. Next time we speak, tomorrow, when we go through the day, we ought to remember every day. You know what? It does matter what I say. It does matter what comes out of this mouth. Amen. Does matter. Yes, it does. And then, of course, over in Hebrews, the same chapter, 13th chapter, he talks about the praise of the sacrifice of good works for others. Do you know it's a sacrifice and it brings praise to God when we do things for other folk? It is right to do things for other folk. It's proper, and there again today we could search our life out. We could look and over the day and say, what did we do for someone else beside ourselves? We sure live in a self generation. We live in a generation that's more interested in self than anybody else. But I say to you, God is interested in other folk and how we respond to other folk and what we do and in helping other folk. There's a place, and it's not on the tip of my tongue now, but there's a place also he talks about the sacrifice, the spiritual sacrifice of the money we give to help others. Do you know God does care what you do with your money? You can get quiet if you want to. You can do whatever you want to, but God cares what you do with every dime you make. It's not yours anyway. It's God's. Doesn't belong to you. Doesn't belong to me. It's his, and he's the director of it. We're just the stewards, and we're to use it as God instructs us to use it. Amen. So we ought to get a hold of that truth. You see, those are spiritual sacrifices that we offer up unto our Lord, you see. Amen. So we're all to the same priesthood. Brings us all together. We're out of the same priesthood, folks. Amen. Not only that, in verse number 9, he says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto the marvelous light. God says we're a holy nation. That's interesting. You know, he called Israel out as a nation. He's referring to us now as a holy nation. I want you to get the word holy. God said we're a holy nation. We're his people. We're a holy people. We're to walk in holiness. Amen. He says we're a chosen generation. Chosen generation. God chosen. God chose you. Isn't that wonderful? God chose you out. If you're saved today, God chose you. He picked you. It's a marvelous thing what God did. Amen. You're a chosen generation. If you look at that thing, it's an amazing thing. Why would God choose me? Why would God choose you? Why would he? to be called a child of God, a son of God, chosen generation. Not only that, he says you're a peculiar, we're a peculiar people. Now that's not, and I think most of you understand that, that's not you're going to walk around acting peculiar. Basically, again, it's a word which means that we're chosen, we're a chosen possession of God. We're peculiar unto God. He's chosen us as a possession of His. Whew. Are you saved today? Are you saved? Well, you're chosen of God. You're peculiar people, chosen of the Lord. But wait a minute. So's that person is sitting beside you. If they're born again, they also are chosen of God. They're His possession. We belong to Him. And what's He say we're to do? Look into verse number 9. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What are we supposed to do? We're to show forth the praises of God. Amen. So I don't really think we're going to show forth much praises of God by fighting and bickering and no unity in the church. That's not going to bring praise unto the Lord and show forth the praises of God. And a community will not believe it. I was there. There's a day I wasn't saved before I was 26 years of age. And I saw bickering and the things go on in the church. I saw the wickedness that went on. And that never drew me to God. And it won't draw this community to God. This community, if they're going to see God, is going to have to see Him through us. And that's a group of people that has unity. That cares about one another. Why? Because we're out of the same family. We're children from the same family. And He's called us out of darkness unto light. Folks, He called us out of darkness unto light. Understand? Out of darkness. We used to be in darkness. But He called us into the light. Amen? So we're different. We're supposed to be different. Now, let me just ask you a question. Should there be unity and harmony in the body of Christ? Should there be? And if there's not, isn't there something wrong? And can I tell you right now, it isn't God that's wrong. Never has been, never will be. He's never done one thing that's ever wrong. So the problem, if there's disunity, no harmony, is within us. Amen. Now listen to me. God said, we're out of the same family, bought with the same blood, drawn by the same Spirit of God, born again the same way through the precious Word of God. And the Spirit of God taking the Word and using it in our hearts. Now, what right does any of us have not to have unity? See, He's given the unity, Ephesians 4. Keep the unity of the Spirit. The unity is there. The Spirit of God is not divided. Is it? Is He? I shouldn't say yet. Is He? So all we've got to do is keep the unity of the faith. Amen? Now listen, I've been preaching for 33 years. And I have some understanding of little skirmishes and things that go on. I've been around the block a few times. And even tonight as I was preparing, or this week when I was preparing for this sermon, I did not look and say, boy, somebody out there has really got a battle going on. But in my spirit, I think God said there needs to be some things corrected. I may not know who you are. I don't know what's going on. But I want to tell you right now, if you don't have sweet unity, there's a problem and you're the problem. You need to get it corrected. You can't sit around and talk about your brethren. They're as born again as you are. They're as important to God as you are. Every child of God, I don't care where he's at on the face of this earth, is a wonderful child of God. And he's just as important to God as you or me. Do you believe that? So what I'm saying to you, we don't have a right to have disunity. You don't have a right. You and I don't have a right to do that. We're God's children. Children out of the same family. Amen. Just want to encourage you. If there is that disunity, I'm a preacher that does preventive maintenance. I've always tried to preach preventative. I change my oil in my car 3,000 miles so to prevent disaster down the road. And I try to do quite a bit of oil changing here so it'll stop disaster down the road. Preventative preaching, that helps a church. So if it's there, do something about it. Amen. If it isn't there, just say amen, praise God, and let's go on. Let's just get on down the road and let's go on and serve God. Amen. But if it is, you need to get it straight. Yeah. It doesn't have to be some of these teenagers up here. It could be, but it doesn't have to be them. It can be us old fogies. It's old dogs. Ain't right with God. Walking around with a chip on our shoulder. Won't work. Won't work. No, God's not going to go for that. Amen? So just wanted you to know that tonight. Hopefully it helped you. And you let the Spirit of God do the work that needs to be done in your heart, and I'll let him do what needs to be done in my heart. Is that a deal? Now I want to say one more thing, and then I'm going to close. You know, in a service like this, we have services Wednesdays, Sundays. I never know who's sitting here that maybe isn't even saved. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying it's always a possibility. That's always a possibility. That you may not be truly saved. There's never been a time in your life when you truly have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I just want to say to you, Jesus loves you. He went to the cross for you, died on the cross for your sins so that you could have eternal life. So I would ask the question, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If not, God loves you and wants to save you tonight. You come at the invitation and we'll take the Bible and we'll show you how you can be saved. Show you how you can put your faith and trust in Christ and you become God's child, born again, ready for heaven. See, I can't read your heart. I can look at your face, but I can't read your heart. But God can. He's the reader of hearts. So can you say, yes, I'm born again. I'm God's child. If I died tonight, I'd know I'd go to heaven. Why? Because you've been religious? Why? Because you got baptized? Why? Because you've been trying to be good? Then none of those will get you into heaven. You must be born again. Amen. All those things I mentioned were good and proper, but they'll never get you into heaven. You must be born again. Let's pray. Father, I certainly thank you again today for your wonderful goodness to us, your kindness, your grace, your mercy. Once again, Lord, help us to keep the unity of the Spirit. God, help us. We know the unity is there because the Holy Spirit is never divided. We know it's there, but Lord, help us to keep it. And help us as a church to always be where we ought to be, Lord. Help us to love one another the way we ought to love one another. Help us, Lord, to work together, Father, the way we ought to work together. And appreciate each other as we ought to appreciate each other. Why? Because we're children of God. So I ask your will be done. If there's any here without Christ, oh God, let this be the evening when they put their faith and trust in Jesus and be born again. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.